Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The long-awaited Magic City Books finally opens this coming Monday in the Brady Arts District. This nonprofit bookstore is the centerpiece for the work of the Tulsa Literary Coalition, a group that promotes reading and the centrality of books and literature in our everyday lives. Booksmart Tulsa, the events organization that has brought countless fiction and nonfiction writers to the city, will be housed there, and it will be its central base. And the store also promises panel discussions, book discussion groups, lectures, writing workshops, as well as free consultation for fledgling and existing book clubs, along with readings and book signings by local, regional, and national writers. My guests today are two of the founding people behind the Tulsa Literary Coalition. Cindy Hulsey is formerly of the Tulsa City County Library System, is the executive director of the Tulsa Literary Coalition. And Jeff Martin, who also runs Booksmart Tulsa, is the president of the board of directors. Magic City Books opens Monday at 9 in the Archer Building in downtown Tulsa. Cindy and Jeff, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Well, you're just days away from the fruition of a long dream of opening a nonprofit bookstore in Magic City Books. As I think the original announcement was almost 21 months ago.
I thought you were going to say years for a second. It feels like that a little bit, but yeah, that's correct. We had our first board meeting in November of 2015, so 2 years ago exactly for that, and the idea was born even before that, so yeah, it's been a long journey.
So what was the idea behind Magic City Books? Was it a matter of an independent bookseller, the nonprofit element, or was it in reaction to the fact that a lot of the longtime booksellers were ending here in Tulsa?
I think it was both. We saw an independent bookstore as something that was really necessary in Tulsa, and people really wanted it. And we thought it was the perfect vehicle for us to sort of realize our nonprofit mission, and it gives us a physical space to not only provide an independent bookstore, but to give us a venue to author events as well as literary programs, and to just be a literary hub and a place where book people can go and feel like they have found their tribe.
And actually, this is under the bigger umbrella of the Tulsa Literary Coalition, which Booksmart Tulsa is now going under. Is that correct or not?
We've been basically for a decade building this community, which is kind of one of the interesting components to this. You know, whereas a lot of bookstores or nonprofits start from scratch and they have nothing to kind of build on, we had something which was slightly different, which was for the last 8+ years, we've been doing all these events. We've had thousands of people at these Booksmart events all over the, you know, community. Almost every one of those events has been in some way a collaboration with another organization. So we've built all these amazing partnerships. And so 2 years ago, when we decided to do this, in some ways we thought, well, we have this base, we have this kind of core audience. And that in some ways was part of the exciting moment, saying we can take this and do something with this. And that was where the Tulsa Literary Coalition was born out of. And then when the Tulsa Literary Coalition happened and became this umbrella organization, Booksmart Tulsa and Magic City Books went under that umbrella. So those two components exist within that. So Booksmart Tulsa is the kind of author event wing of the Tulsa Literary Coalition, traveling, visiting authors. And then Magic City Books is this retail component that functions like a museum gift store or Circle Cinema, whereas a retail component that funds a nonprofit, which is a really special opportunity to not have to be out there fundraising like every other nonprofit all the time, because you're building this pretty steady stream of revenue, which I think is more of a 21st century model for nonprofits moving forward.
Yeah. But once you have a physical facility, how does that change the mission of Booksmart Tulsa and the overall coalition?
Well, I think, as Cindy was saying, we will do a lot of events in the store. And that's been one of the really exciting things. You know, Booksmart, having done hundreds of events around the city, always moves around, and that's part of the charm of it, getting people out to new places. But I'll be honest with you, it's difficult sometimes. You know, there's a lot of planning and things that go into that, and a lot of logistical things. And it's so amazing having a wonderful team like we have now, because for so many years it was basically a one-person show. So having, you know, Cindy and Leanna Weaver, who is part of our team, doing these things with us has just been amazing. But I would say 25% to 40% of our events will now happen in the store. We do a lot of big events that just for space won't be able to happen in the space, but we'll still do those out in the community at places like Kane's Ballroom or All Souls Unitarian Church or all these great places here at the University of Tulsa. But it's going to be really wonderful having a more permanent place to do events.
Yeah. And as far as just Magic City Books being the retail arm for this nonprofit, it seems like there's a bigger mission to that as well.
Yeah.
Can you maybe talk what about attracted you to this? You came from the
opening
library.
Opening a bookstore, honestly, is like a lifelong dream for me. I think every librarian secretly wants to own a bookstore. But it's an opportunity to give people the bookstore they want, but by shopping with us, they can feel good about what they're doing because that money, the profits from the store, are going back to the Literary Coalition, which will fund programming. So it's this wonderful circular process. And, you know, I think people are looking for a place where they can have the importance of reading validated, where they feel where it's celebrated. And it's going to be a fabulous venue for us to do things like lunchtime readings and panel discussions. And there are wonderful professors here at the university who are going to come in and do lectures and panel discussions. We have a whole lot of things that we can offer the public that a lot of other bookstores can't offer. So by having the nonprofit component, we just have a lot of opportunities to reach so many more people. And we can also partner with other nonprofits to help their clients use book discussions and other things as a way to, you know, achieve the goals that organization is trying to achieve. So.
You mentioned lectures. When I was reading about the portion about lectures, it sounded a little bit like going back to the late Ben Hennecke, you know, who used to work at the library for years, reading you'll like.
Yeah.
And is it going to be that sort of thing where a professor talks about a book that is important to them and why you should read it, that sort of thing?
You know, basically what I want to do, people who teach are usually very passionate about the subjects they teach. So what I'm saying to people is I would love for you to come into Magic City Books and spend an hour talking about something you are passionate about, you know, and then have some discussion around that. There's a young man, Joshua Grasso, who has done some programs for the library, and I have never seen anyone with more enthusiasm for literature. And, you know, I thought, oh my God, it makes me want to go back to school. I wish all my professors had been that way. And I think a lot of people crave that kind of intellectual stimulation. And they want to go someplace where they can get that, where they can have a glass of wine while they're listening, a cup of latte, and just have a good time and learn something.
Yeah. The Magic City Books will open Monday in the Archer Building downtown. This is the long-awaited nonprofit bookstore of the Tulsa Literary Coalition. My guests today are Cindy Hulsey, who is the executive director, and Jeff Martin, who is the president of the board of directors, and also he run Booksmart Tulsa, which is also under the coalition as well now. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. Well, tell us a little bit about the store. What's the store going to look like? It's downtown in the Archer Building, which I was driving by there last week. I could see your shelves were up, but I could also see there was also red cones, orange cones around there still. The building's still under construction. It's a large building, but portions of it are under construction still.
So this building, for people's reference point, is very similar to the project that was done where the Woody Guthrie Center.
Matthews and, Automotive.
Yeah, the
complex.
Matthews Building. So this was the Archer Building, and there are many components to it. So we're on the southeast corner of the building, right on the corner of Archer and Detroit. And in our space, which the building was from 1925 is when the building was built. The bookstore will have a very beautiful, kind of modern interior in the main sales floor space. And we'll have a coffee counter. We will be having wine and beer and other things that you don't usually get in a bookstore or that people aren't accustomed to in a bookstore. And we have offices for the Tulsa Literary Coalition. We have all these different things. And we also have this one space called the Algonquin Room, which is our event space, our space for groups, book clubs, other people to meet. And it is a nod to that 1920s era. So the bookstore feels very kind of modern, but we wanted something that had a little bit of a throwback feel, you know, the Algonquin Round Table.
Sort
Dorothy
of a clubby, clubby, New York clubby look.
Yeah,
feel.
So beautiful, you know, hanging lights and a velvet curtain and wood floors, whereas the bookstore has a polished cement floor. The Algonquin Room has really beautiful woodworking and wainscoting and all these different things that really bring out this vibe. And it will be open to the public. That's kind of the public space during the day. It will be open for people people to hang out and read and do whatever they want to do. But when groups use this space, we think that it will bring such a special ambiance to what they're doing and, you know, just add that one little piece of flavor, you know, that they need to make it really special.
Do you hope it'll be a home for book clubs?
I know it will be. Oh. We sent out a survey and we've had about 150 responses. The survey was asking, are you in a book club or do you want to be in a book club? The response was just phenomenal. And I already have a folder of requests that people have been making for months. People want their groups to meet there. It's like, hey, I don't have to cook dinner. I don't have to clean the house. I can come to this beautiful space and, you know, have some wine.
We were expecting maybe dozens, not, you know, yeah, over 100.
The response has been incredible. And we will also host 5 monthly book discussions that our staff facilitates. So all those people who have been wanting to join a book group but don't really know quite how to do that can come and join one of our groups.
How big is the book club culture in the city?
It is phenomenally huge, and we knew that, but we didn't know how to tap into it because they're private book groups.
Right.
Yet we knew that all of our friends, every person we knew, was in a book club. So we started with that survey to try to identify them, and they came out of the woodwork, and I know there are many, many more out there, and we really want to reach all of them.
Now, that's part of your mission, too, is sort of be a facilitator, a collaborator, a consultant in a way,
yes,
to new book
right.
groups and,
right.
and fledgling book groups as well as established book groups.
Yeah, and that was part of the survey, too, and it was kind of surprising how many people wanted help either starting a group or help with title selections, you know, to know what is a really good book to discuss. And, you know, some groups kind of go off the rails and they're not functioning very well. And our team has a lot of experience facilitating book groups. And we really want to help people examine, you know, how their group is functioning and help them get back on the rails or help them, you know, maybe decide, you know what, this really shouldn't be a book club. It should be a supper club. So it's something we're looking forward to doing.
Yeah. Now, I have to ask, it was a couple of years ago since you came up with the idea. You announced in, I think, the beginning of 2016, and now the store is now opening here at the end of 2017. What took so long?
I mean, basically, the honest answer is just construction delays. This whole project, you know, we're part of a larger project. This Archer building is going to have restaurants and other retail, and several of the things are already open. And so there were new components that were added at some point that impacted the scheduling for us. So it really was at some point beyond our control, and we just kind of had to roll with it. The one great thing was in June of 2016, when we did our very first Magic City Books event with none other than Stephen King, you may have heard of him. We've been able to do all these fantastic things leading up to it, and the buzz has just been crazy. We did worry. We kind of thought, will it dissipate? Will people, you know, be able to maintain the level of excitement? And I will be totally honest, I felt that too. But I've been thrilled to see that it's done the exact opposite. You know, it's just the water kept boiling this whole time, and it's been really interesting to see the passion. I saw someone on Facebook earlier today share our event about the opening, and they said, this is the event of the year in Tulsa. I mean, that is a pretty amazing thing for a bookstore to be able to do in somebody's life.
Now, you're going to have events in the first couple of weeks, and I have to ask you, you're opening the bookstore right before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And you know, your very first Friday in existence is going to be Black Friday and local business Saturday, and Are you prepared for what you might, if that enthusiasm does show up, will you be prepared?
We are prepared as we can be. We have hired an incredible team of booksellers. I am so excited about working with them. They're all way overqualified for the job. They're doing it because they love bookstores. They want to be a part of it. We've done a lot of training with them. You know, I'm sure there will be bugs to work out. There's no doubt about that. And if I had my choice, I would not have opened at this particular time. But in a way, I mean, what a great thing to be able, you know, to be open right at the beginning of the Christmas season. I wouldn't have missed that for the world. So it is going to be a bit stressful, but I think we have a great team. Our store manager, Bettina Dirks, who worked at Barnes & Noble for years, is an amazing woman, and she has been a machine in getting the store ready to open. So, you know, I think our customers will be kind and realize that, you know, it'll take a little while to get the bugs worked out, but I think they're just going to be excited to be there and we will be excited to now, have them.
What's going
to
happen on Monday and in the first couple of weeks of the store?
So we're doing a ribbon cutting with the mayor on Monday the 20th at 9 a.m. and the Tulsa Regional Chamber will be there, and we'll do kind of the big hubbub about getting things open and let everybody get their first peek at the store. And then we're going to take a couple of weeks and figure out what we're doing. And so and we're not really doing our big celebration until the week of December 6th through the 10th. We're going to do several events. We're going to do an event with a guy from Harvard named Richard Thomas, who wrote this amazing book called Why Bob Dylan Matters. And we're doing that in partnership with the new Dylan Institute here at the University of Tulsa that will be here on campus. We're doing a cookbook event the next day with Deb Perlman, who does a thing called Smitten Kitchen, which is one of the biggest food things going right now. We're doing a poetry night. We're going to do Michael Wallace is going to come do a conversation with us about his Donner party, maybe like a Donner Christmas party thing on Saturday afternoon, which would be the 9th. And then our big celebration thing on Sunday the 10th is going to be with, this will sound weird at first, but with an actress, Emma Roberts, who is Julia Roberts' niece and Eric Roberts' daughter and an actress in her own right, is a person who started a online book club called Bellatrist, which is basically about getting millennials into reading physical books. And she basically is a celebrity advocate for the love of reading, which is something we don't have enough of. We see a lot of people advocating for different causes, but you don't see, especially people who are in their 20s, people with a huge platform going out and advocating the love of reading. And so we're bringing her in, and she's going to bring a special guest author with her, who no one will get to know who it is until the night. And she will interview that author live on stage. Everyone who buys a ticket gets a copy of that author's book. And it's just going to be a really big celebration blast, you know, to kind of kick off what we're doing. And because we're about the love of reading, there's a lot of institutions and groups here who do amazing work about literacy and teaching people to read. We're about teaching people to love to read or to foster the love that they already have for reading. That's really our space.
Yeah. Now, will this be an all-service bookstore, or will it be more of a curated selection of books? Because you've talked about the quality of the reading experience. Will this be your everyday New York Times bestsellers, or will it be a curated list of books in the store?
Well, we are a small store, and we are focusing on quality over quantity. We have a great selection. Our main focus is on adult literary and mainstream fiction, as well as what we think is the best genre fiction. But we have a carefully curated children's selection, a wonderful cookbook selection.
Very good.
We have a little bit, you know, for everybody, but mm-hmm. we do have a focus. We do have a point of view. And what we were trying to do when we were selecting our opening inventory was to choose books that would really spark conversation and that would give people something to think about and talk about. So we definitely have a point of view.
So less than, say, the recommended reading shelf in your normal bookstore, but
You know what's kind of fascinating is when you go to any chain bookstore, for example, yeah. and I've worked in chain
yes,
bookstores, most of the books you see on displays are paid to be there. Publishers like Random House, Penguin, all the big publishers pay the chain bookstores for placement. So
to
when
put
you see
them on that table,
yeah, when you see a
right
big octagon with James Patterson's book on it, a transaction has occurred to place it there. The cool thing about our store is we have this amazing team of people who have selected these works, and we're putting them out because we think you will like them, you know, from our local standpoint. And that's something that I think you really can't emphasize more, the fact that, you know, this is coming from, yes, a point of view. I was telling someone the other day, if you're looking for a book about how to build, you know, an addition on your house, that's probably not going to be the kind of book you buy from us. You're going to buy a book that you read for the most part, you know, not one that you necessarily look at, you know, whether it's a great narrative nonfiction, biography. We have a lot of those fantastic things too, but we want you to, you know, have an experience with the book, not just use it for, you know, something like that.
Yeah. My guests today are Cindy Hulsey, the Executive Director of the Tulsa Literary Coalition, and Jeff Martin, who's the President of the Board of Directors, also the man behind Booksmart Tulsa, which are all part of the Literary Coalition. Magic City Books opens Monday in the Archer Building downtown. It's been highly awaited for a long time. We're glad to see it finally opening. It will open for business Monday morning at just after 9 o'clock, after the ribbon cutting. And they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. We'll talk a lot long term. What does this facility do for the Literary Coalition as far as your efforts to increase reading and the spread of good literature? in the community. What's the long-term impact of the facility?
Well, after we get through opening and after we figure out what we're doing, we do want to focus on reaching out in the community and building relationships with other nonprofits. We've made some preliminary connections. And what we really want to do is show people that reading and discussing books can not only help with their personal development, it helps you build empathy for other people. It helps you see the world from another point of view. And it also can help you discover possibilities for your own life. So I think there are groups of people that maybe, because of their circumstances, have not had an opportunity for a lot of time to read for pleasure. And we think that reading is such a vital part of the human experience because story is the most powerful tool we have for communicating with one another. So we really want to take that message out there and try to get as many people in Tulsa reading and using books and stories and literature as a way to improve their lives and ultimately improve our community.
Beyond facilitating discussions about the literature itself, what about the issues books, nonfiction books, or even literature brings up? Is that going to be a focal point for the bookstore?
It will be. We have a really, really nice selection of narrative nonfiction. And that's one of the things I want to do is with the panel discussions and lectures is choose either fiction or really good narrative nonfiction that talks about an issue that is relevant to our community. And sometimes by using, particularly, I think, a novel, you can talk about social and cultural issues that are really sensitive and that you might not be able to sit down with somebody who has maybe a different point of view or different background and talk about that without that sort of intermediary tool of the novel. So I anticipate that we will be having a lot of important discussions built around fiction.
Yeah. We did an amazing event with David Gran, who wrote The Killers of the Flower Moon, which is about the Osage Indian murders. And we had this amazing event. The turnout was insane. We had to basically turn people away because it was just such an intense turnout. And there was a moment during this event that I'll never forget, which was these two women met. This woman's grandfather murdered this woman's grandfather. And wow. They met for the first time and had this reconciliation during this book event, right? This is not the kind of thing you would think could happen at a quote-unquote book signing or a literary event, but it was super emotional. And that's the power of, you know, if this book had not been written, whether you like it or not, that moment may not have ever occurred. And that's the kind of thing where we can take a book, which is a physical thing made of paper, and turn it into an impact on someone's life.
How will Magic City Books affect Booksmart Tulsa? I mean, first of all, you mentioned it's going to be a place where smaller events take place in the store, but how does it affect the wider reach of Booksmart Tulsa?
I think it only enhances it. You know, Booksmart Tulsa was kind of our, you know, the seed that got everything started.
This was a fly-by-night operation from the start. I mean, this was you out of the backseat of your car.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Well, I think that just shows that, Cindy, as much as myself, when you have a true passion for something, you'll figure out how to make it work. I mean, would I have guessed 8 years ago that we would be sitting here now talking about opening this bookstore? Probably not, but I can't say that it's not something I hadn't dreamed about. I was certainly, you know, having worked in bookstores, but, you know, it wasn't feasible until the path, you know, kind of led to this point. But, you know, I'll still help bring in, you know, big authors. We just booked George Saunders, who just won the Man Booker
That's
Prize.
True.
We're going to be having amazing authors coming here. And gosh, when you look over the last decade or so at all the people that we've brought in, I think we can compete with any city in America as to the level of people that we're bringing in. And that's only going to, I think, grow and continue with what we're doing now.
Well, I was going to say, you know, a lot of authors, they want to be at the independent bookstore, the tattered cover in Denver, you know, City Lights in San Francisco. And, you know, there's a handful of these names, Powell's in the Northwest. You know, do you think Magic City Books will have that same cachet with a lot of these authors? When they're doing a tour, they want to go to a place like a Magic City Books.
Put it simply, yes. And one of the things, when we first started with the Tulsa Literary Coalition, we put together an amazing advisory board of people that basically gave their stamp of approval to what we do. That includes Nancy Pearl, who many of the listeners know.
Yeah.
That includes David Sedaris. That includes Salman Rushdie, Jonathan Franzen, Michael Chabon, Ann Patchett, who owns her own bookstore in Nashville. these people are all on our advisory board. And are they actively participating in our day-to-day operations? No, they're not. But by lending us that support, it says, this is something important. And we always say that, you know, any city that claims to be an interesting place needs to have at least one independent bookstore. We view it as the same level of social service as the ballet or a museum. If you don't have a literary culture and it just kind of checks that box that, you know, if you live a wide cultural life, that needs to be part of it if you're going to have this complete experience.
An independent bookstore is one thing, but you're talking about a nonprofit independent bookstore.
Yeah, very different.
Were there models for you to look at?
There are a few other bookstores in the country that have adopted this hybrid nonprofit for-profit model. So we certainly looked at those and learned what we could. And since we started the process, there have been a few others that have started. And I think it's because people are beginning to realize that an independent bookstore does much more than sell books. They really provide, you know, a community center for book lovers. And a lot of independent bookstores do a lot of programming and do author events. So I think they realized that they're doing more for their community than selling books. And by putting in a nonprofit component, you are allowing people, you know, to support you as they shop and to do good in the community. So I think it's a model you're going to see more and more.
Yeah. You know, we're down to a few choices nationally. You can either do it on the internet. There's a couple big players as far as chain bookstores, but that's really about it anymore.
Well, it's funny because as this process has gone on, and we've been planning this for a long time, it's really been fascinating to see that even just in the couple few years that we've been planning this specific project, every month or every 2 months, we're seeing new reports about how more bookstores, independent bookstores, are opening around the country. I'll run into someone on occasion and I'll say, you think that's a good idea, opening an independent bookstore? And I say, actually, I know it is, and here's why. And I show them the statistics from the American Booksellers Association that says more bookstores have opened in the last XYZ years than in the previous decades. And I think nationally, retail is going independent. Dillard's is going to close, but you're going to have a great boutique shop, you know? Everything in some way. And it's a weird thing we're in.
It's
right
either
now.
either the business is going to get super huge, large, or it's right. going to be super
chain restaurants. Small. People don't want chain restaurants; they want great local restaurants. And there's this move back to local, which is somewhat inexplicable, but you see it nationally. And in terms of timing, I think we're just right for that.
Well, I think the city, in a lot of different ways, seems to be supporting a lot of different local entrepreneurs and. I guess this will be the latest effort,
yeah.
right?
Yes. I think it's really interesting, too, that ebook sales have flattened and that print sales have increased. And I think a lot of that may have to do with screen fatigue. I think people are returning to print books, and I think ebooks will always have a place. They're great for when you're traveling. You can make the font bigger if you need that. There are a lot of advantages to ebooks. But I think many people, including millennials, want to hold a book in their hands. They want that physical, visceral experience of immersing themselves in a book.
All right. Well, you can do it for yourself Monday morning when Magic City Books opens. Cindy and Jeff, good luck with the venture, and we look forward to seeing more events at Magic City Books.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rich.
Cindy Holsey is the executive director, and Jeff Martin is the president of the board of directors of the Tulsa Literary Coalition, which will open Magic City Books, a new nonprofit independent bookstore in the Brady Arts District. It opens Monday at 9 in the Archer Building in downtown Tulsa. For more information on Magic City Books, visit magiccitybooks.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.